Sober on Purpose is the podcast that takes you beyond clean to fulfilling your dreams. Other programs get you sober. We ask, what's next? Come thrive with us.
Welcome, Sober on Purpose family. I have the great honor of being with Daniel Packard. Now, he used to be a comedian, so I know this is going to be fun. Now he's doing the nervous system reset. He believes that he can solve anxiety in 6 weeks. We're going to hear if that's true or not and let you take that home and process it. So welcome, Daniel.
Well, thank you for that invitational, exciting, and little saucy intro. Yeah, let's see if he can do it. Well, I can, but yeah. And to your listeners out there, wherever you are, if you're on the couch, if you're at the gym, if you're outside, if you're in a Snuggie, if you're on a unicorn, wherever you are, I promise that you're going to hear something about the topic of fear and anxiety, where at the very least, you're going to go, I cannot believe nobody told me that sooner. It would have made my life so much better. And at the very most, could change your life. And I'm not just saying that, it really could. So it's an honor to be here with your very wise and knowledgeable community to give them a perspective they haven't heard before that can really help them be happier.
Well, I am really ready to be hit with that, because as we were talking earlier, I wish you'd come along like $30,000-$50,000 ago, because 6 weeks to solving anxiety. And a lot of these families have it around their loved one, around themselves, what's going to happen. So kind of give us an overview of how you got here.
Well, thank you. I will tell you sort of my story, how we developed the program. But first, I want to be really clear in what I want to share with your listeners, partly because their time is valuable and I want to earn their time. Also, just they've heard a lot of information on anxiety, and a lot of it doesn't solve it. And what we're doing is very rare and valuable. And I want to be really clear in what we're doing so it's not missed. What we're doing is that we spent 8 years developing a program to solve anxiety permanently in 6 weeks. And I know you don't believe me. By the end, you're going to be much more hopeful. And the reason it matters is because when you either have anxiety or you know someone that does, you've seen it's not just feeling anxious. It robs you of your joy. It creates doubt. You can't do what you love. You start avoiding the things that make you happy. And it's impossible to be happy, because when you're scared all the time, your heart is closed and you cannot be fully joyful. But that's not even the most painful part, in my opinion. The most painful part, and you know this and your listeners know this, is that when you have anxiety, you go looking for help from either the therapist or the psychologist or the gurus or the books or the videos or the apps. And what they've probably noticed is that virtually none of it solves it. It gives you tips and tools and awareness to manage it. Now, that's not bad. It's still helpful. But there's only one downside to only managing anxiety, and that is you still have anxiety. So that's a problem. And I'm going to explain to your listeners why you went to that therapist and spent all that money and you still have anxiety. Why did you try the pill and you felt a little bit okay, but you also felt like a zombie and you still have anxiety? Why did that app, that retreat, that book, why did none of it solve it? And I want you to know it for this reason. If you don't understand why you, no matter what you try, you keep managing it, that pattern of improvement codependency is just going to keep happening. You're just going to keep having it. And you don't want that. You want to solve it, but you need to know the mechanics of how people are approaching anxiety and why it's keeping you stuck in this pattern of just constant learning about it and understanding, but it's still here. Also, when you can't solve it, what tends to happen is you tend to start to blame yourself and you think, oh my God, this is my fault. I'm broken. There's something wrong with me, because when all these experts said try this and it didn't work, you think it's your fault. And I want you to know the real reason that you haven't solved your anxiety, and the dirty little secret that the mental health community doesn't want you to know, and explains why $1 trillion, trillion with a T, is spent every year on mental health. 30 grand of that at the very least is yours, Tanya, and 100 grand of mine. But the data shows it doesn't solve anything, and you need to know why it's not solving anything. And then I'm going to show you a very simple, practical understanding of what's necessary to solve your anxiety permanently. So that's what we're doing. If you just want tips and tools, no. You can go get tips and tools other places. If you want to know how to solve this and be free of it, so you or for someone that you care about can be free of it, that's what I'm about, and that's what I want to share with you right now.
I'm tired of tips and tools, because I'm one of those who, I meditate, I exercise, I write my journal, I do my gratitude. I'm like, when do I have time to go to work? If I have any more tips and tools, I won't be able to do any work. So yes, I want it solved.
Good. And just to be clear, it's hard to get people out of that framework. When I tell them, hey, we have a 6-week permanent solution, they're almost like, well, like, is it an app? I'm like, no, did the app solve this? No. Or like, well, can you give me a tip? I'm like, no, did a tip solve it in the past? It's how people are conditioned to approach this, and it's part of the problem. So I want to explain to you not only the understanding of anxiety, but also just an approach to happiness in general, because a lot of money is spent and given to people who don't solve anything. Now, I'm not saying that's bad, but it's a problem. And I want to wake people up to this paradigm that you're giving people to money that aren't solving it. And it's a lot of money. And I call it the improvement industrial complex, which is this just massive industry of therapists and psychologists and gurus and teachers that takes a whole lot of money and doesn't solve anything. Now, that's okay. They're doing the best they can. But we as consumers, I want to say, let's demand more. If you break your leg and you go to the doctor, you expect them to put a cast on it and you're up and running in a month or two. Nobody says, I have this incredible doctor and it's been 7 years and my leg is better and he's given me some vision boarding and some visualization, but he's just incredible. But I've seen him for 7 years. But people will say that about their therapist. Oh, they're incredible. But 7 years later, if you're seeing your therapist for 7 years, I'm not saying they're not helping you. I'm saying from a results perspective, I don't think they're an incredible therapist.
How do we even begin to wrap our minds around the idea that, one, I'm not the problem, right? And two, we can solve this in 6 weeks. As a person who went through EMDR for 2.5 years, I'm just not seeing it.
So you're speaking from the perspective that everybody has, which is you've spent all these years trying to solve it. You've tried every different modality, different ones say different things, and none of it solve it. So it seems, based on your experience, and your listeners can relate, that it feels confusing and like this big, impossible to crack thing. And even, what did you say? Even wrap my head around it. That's how it seems. But when we approached it and we saw the solution, it's dead simple. But it feels like it's got to be this confusing thing because that's what you've been conditioned. But I'm going to explain to you my story, how we came up with it. And when you understand what it is, you'll realize it's not this big thing. It's actually very simple. It's just the expert missed the simple thing. So the reason we found it is because, first of all, I wanted something that got results. Real results that were measured. And the reason that mattered to me is because when I was younger, I grew up in Berkeley, California. My dad was a scientist and an inventor, and he would invent things. And I thought this was just the coolest thing ever. It was like a superpower. And he said to me, Daniel, if something's not working, you can invent something better. And I thought, that is just incredible. And he also said, you know, a lot of people will say they know what they're talking about. And a lot of people have theories and ideas, but it's the person that gets results that A, knows what they're talking about. B, that's what makes people's lives better, is results, not theory or ideas. And I thought, man, that is good. So I went to engineering school because I loved inventing and I liked figuring things out. And I went to UC Berkeley for mechanical engineering. And I was trained properly how to take complex problems, break them down into little mechanical pieces, build a prototype, and test and optimize until something worked and got results. And the good news was I got very good at understanding how machines work and robots work and bicycles work and bridges work. But Tanya, shocker, they did not teach me how relationships work. I don't know if it's Newton died a virgin, which should let you know that scientists sometimes aren't great with. So, and Einstein, not a great husband and father. And I was in thermodynamics that day, but I didn't learn how to do relationships. So I came out of engineering school. I fell in love with a woman. And shocker, we did not live happily ever after. It turned very toxic very quickly. And I was too codependent to leave. And I know nobody in your audience would ever stay in a relationship too long, but I did. And when I came out of it, 2 weeks later, I came down with what I later found out was crippling PTSD and anxiety. And just the smallest thing, I would go into terror. I'd go into fight or flight. I couldn't leave the house. It led to depression because I was exhausted all the time. And then all the people around me, all my friends and family, didn't want to be around a person in pain. So they all just kind of walked away, leaving me feeling even more broken. And then I went looking for help. I went to the therapists and the psychologists and the doctors and the gurus and the ashrams and the retreats. I did the EMDR and the EFT and the MOUSE. Like, I did all of it. And I looked and I said, this isn't solving anything. And it was getting worse. And I wouldn't have taken my life, but I I definitely get why people do, because I had no life and there was no way out. And I said, what's the point of all this? And I remembered what my dad said. If something's not working, invent something better. And he said, results matter. And so for myself, but also all the people in pain, I started my own research company to see, could we reverse engineer an actual solution for anxiety? I didn't know if we could, but I figured we should try. And it was way harder than we thought. It was 8 years total. Over a million in research and development. We work with 3,000 people on 5 continents. And first, I was one of the first test cases. My anxiety just went away and never came back. It's been 10 years. I've been just chill as a cucumber. No apps, no meditation. I'm just calm. I feel stressed sometimes, but it lasts about 5 minutes. And then when we saw it was possible, we said, well, we can help millions, but we have to make this scalable and systematic. So we spent another several years to design, develop, and optimize an online program that has an astounding 90% success rate. And we know that because we track your results numerically. And because results matter, and I'm tired of this improvement industrial complex of people giving money and not getting results, when people work with us, you don't pay at the beginning. You only pay at the end when your anxiety is solved. Let me be clear. You pay at the end when it's solved. And we do that because my dad told me results matter. And I'm telling you that right now. So A, you know that's an option, and it's a pretty cool option. But also, so when you hear me talk about what I'm about to share with you and you think, Daniel, that sounds good, but how do I know it works? Well, you don't know it works, but you know I have a company based on this theory where we back up our results. And the fact that we back up our results probably means we're getting results. So you can trust what you're gonna hear a little bit more than a book you just read that doesn't back up their results. So that's my story, the story of my company, and why we were even able to come up with a solution when one didn't exist.
Okay, now I need to hear what's actually going on, because my mind is racing going, yes, but are your markers the same as my markers? How do we set the markers? What does that look like? So explain to us what that actually looks like.
Well, first of all, I just want to notice what you just did. I basically said we have a permanent solution with a 90% success rate where you only pay at the end. Like, that is good news. But what you did is the normal reaction of like, you know what? I'm going to make this more complicated than it needs to be. Now, it's a good question you asked, but it's a common response of like, it can't be that simple. Like, I want to find a way that maybe this doesn't work. So to answer your question, though, but did you see what you did? You were like, well, wait a minute, hold on. Does it work for people with red sweaters? Because I like red sweaters. It's like, you go to the doctor with a broken bone, and your doctor says, yeah, we can heal your bone. You don't say, well, define broken. What are my markers for broken versus... You don't do that because you know that these guys get results because you have an experience. But what I call big pharma has been making things so complicated for people that the idea of simple seems foreign, and you just kind of reject it at default. Does that make sense?
And the idea that one, that I'm broken, and two, I need to be fixed, and that, you know, that's kind of baked in there too. You are broken, so you need to be fixed, and you don't have the resources to do it. So you must be really careful on who you let give you resources.
Well, you're exactly right. What you did, and I'm not judging you. We see this all the time with people that come to work, that want to work with us. Logically, they're like, oh, permanent solution, 6 weeks. I only pay at the end. That's no risk. And then their mind starts to come up with these unconscious patterns like, well, maybe you get a 90% success, but it won't work for me. Will it work for this? Will it work for that? And I said, 90% success rate. If it doesn't work, you don't pay. Let's do this. Well, yeah, but I live at this latitude. Will it work for someone? Like, it's just... So now to answer your question, to answer your question, so you don't think I'm just deflecting, is that we measure your anxiety in a couple key metrics from 1 to 10 based on your experience. So for instance, we'll say, what's the peak anxiety that you experience every day from 1 to 10? And you give your number. We also say, we check in with you 4 times a day. How anxious are you right now from 1 to 10? So that number, that's your number. So as long as your 7 out of 10 is your 7 out of 10, and by the end of the program, that's now down to your 2 out of 10, that's how we know you got improvement. Your number's based on your experience.
Okay, tell me more.
Well, I want to explain what we discovered because it'll make it make more sense how we pulled this off. Because when we tell people we came up with a solution, nobody believes us because they haven't had a solution yet and they've had this their whole life. And so they're so skeptical. So I want to explain to you how this works to make it seem more possible. So when we approached it like engineers with results. And we said, okay, well, the theory is that anxiety is a problem of the mind. Maybe it is. you know, they say you got to quiet your negative thinking. Don't believe your scarcity mindset. They give you pills to target the neurotransmitters in your brain. It's called mental health. It's got the word mental right in there. And we said, okay, well, the experts say that, but are they getting results? Because that's who you trust. And we said, no, they're not getting permanent results. It's been 100 years of modern psychology and they're not solving this. Freud was a smoking and cocaine addict. Like, that's not a good template. Also, so many things have improved. Infant mortality rate has gone down. A lot of diseases have been solved. I think 150 years ago, 400 out of 1,000 children died before they were five. 40%. And now it's down to about 1%. So many things are better. We just put a helicopter on Mars. Anxiety is getting worse. So, and a couple other key metrics. But basically, we said, these experts aren't getting results. But see, here's the cool thing, Tanya. We weren't experts. We weren't attached to any pre-existing paradigm that our ego has to latch onto. We were just like, let's just look at the data. And we said, is this mind theory getting results? The answer is no. So we said, well, is it coming from somewhere else? And the second we asked that question, we then were open to see where it's actually coming from. And it's very simple. When you have anxiety, everyone says, I feel anxious. There's a feeling there. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you can experience it different ways. Your throat can close up, your chest can tighten, your heart rate can go up, your stomach can get that icky feeling. So to Tanya and your listeners, they say it's a problem of the mind. But listen to those words, throat, stomach, heart, chest. Is that the mind or the body?
Body.
Body, of course, it's the body. And when you hear this, you go, of course, it's the body. But no, not of course, it's called mental health. So right away, we were like, wait a minute, maybe that's why no one's solving it, because they're looking in literally the wrong place. The mind is a symptom of the body. If you feel fear in your body, there's a mind-body connection where your mind will try and solve the perceived threat. Mm-hmm. That's how we're wired. So for reasons I'm going to explain, your body is the root cause of anxiety. Then your mind kicks in and says scary thoughts. So the mind is not the cause of your anxiety. It is a symptom. So to your listeners, if you have anxiety and haven't been able to solve it, it's not because you're broken or going crazy. It's because the experts accidentally sent you to the wrong location. You never could have solved this. So you don't even have an anxiety issue. You just have a location issue.
That's too simple.
I know.
That's too simple. That's like, okay, so I need my driver's license and I showed up at the grocery store.
I know, it just seems too simple. And when we first saw that, even I was like, no, come on, it can't be. We didn't know, it was a theory. And we said, let's get the results. So then we started developing just body-focused tools. And my anxiety and the test cases anxiety just started plummeting, going down and staying down. So just hear me. When I'm talking, this isn't some theory that I thought, maybe it's this. This isn't theory. We've backed this up with data and results. And that's why we're able to offer a program where you pay at the end because we're getting results. So this is not theory. It's real.
Goodness. Okay. So it's real. So if I'm going with you that this is real, then I'm in the wrong location, that all this work I've done, I'm in the wrong location. Tell me, I guess my biggest question is, tell me how to talk to my body so we don't end up all over the place.
Well, it's an excellent question. But again, I want to give you a framework so that you understand that this is simple, but also solvable. And solvable is very different than interesting. There's a lot of theories on so many things in this world of where fear and anxiety come from, different labels, different constructs. However, not all understandings make something solvable. Solvable is very different than like could be true or helpful. Solvable means that you see something in a simple way such that there are practical steps you can take to address and solve the problem. So I'm going to explain to you what's going on in a simple way that makes this solvable. Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
Or if you want to stick with complicated and confusing and spending more money, we can do that. You want to do that?
No, I'm really tired of spending more money. Really.
No, come on. Buy another book. Buy another app. Get another t-shirt. Come on.
I want, Daniel, instead of reading all these self-help books, I want to read books about happy people, about enjoyable story, maybe even a murder mystery now and again. I want to read those things instead of stacks of self-help books.
I used to try and attract women by telling them how cool and conscious I was, and I would put books in my bookshelf of spiritual books, and now I'm proud to say I don't have any more spiritual books because I apply this program to me and I'm just by default calm and happy. I wouldn't say all the time, but pretty much all the time. So no more need for the books. So that's my new bragging to lady. Hey, I don't have any spiritual books. What do you think of that? Yeah. Namaste.
I could ski more, I could play pickleball more, I could do all these other things more.
anxiety and trying to solve it the way you've been taught. It's exhausting. It's exhausting. All right. So here's what we did. Once we saw it was in the body, we said, well, that's not precise enough. That's a location, but we need to understand it mechanically in a way that's solvable. So then said, wait, this is simpler than we realize, because the mind is actually very, the body is pretty simple to understand. The mind, people don't understand the mind. You know, I think there's 87 billion synapses in there and neurons. They don't understand the mind that well. But the body is pretty well mapped out. And the body, a majority of the body, is something that's very sexy, which is mechanical. You know, your skeleton is mechanical. Mm-hmm. Your heart and capillary system and in your veins and all that, it's mechanical. It's physics. And the beauty of that is that there's systems in the body. And all these systems, a lot of them are mechanical. And if you can find a system and see the mechanics, you can see why it's not working and then fix it. Make sense?
It does. That's what doctors do. They look at the mechanics and they say, hey, we'll fix this over here.
Yeah. What is the system and what's not working? And then let's try to fix it and get you back at its best. So we just said, okay, what system is causing this? And again, it's such an easy question with an obvious answer, but it's because we were outsiders and we could ask these questions. We weren't regurgitating old paradigms. We were innovating and starting from scratch. And so we said, what system is it? And once we asked the question, the answer was very obvious, and you already know the answer on some level. So if you have anxiety, take away that word and just call it extra nervous. You're just really, really, really nervous. Okay. So if you're feeling extra nervous and you want to know the system in the body that might be making you extra nervous, do you think it's A, the capillary system, B, the endocrine system, or C,
the nervous system?
The nervous system!
Perfect.
Gold stars to you, Tanya, and your, yay! And the reason you answered before I said it is because it's so obvious. Mm-hmm. We're feeling extra nervous. There's a system in the body that's got the word nervous in there. Wouldn't it make sense that you look there first? So you have all these experts who know we're nervous, who knows there's a thing called the nervous system, but they were like, no, it's a brain disorder. And I'm like, are you guys even paying attention? Now, if they got results, fine. It starts in the mind. But they weren't getting results, and they were still saying, no, it's in the mind, it's in the mind, it's in the mind. That would be like if you took your car to a car mechanic and your engine was blown, and they were like, oh, yeah, the issue is in the brakes. It's like, are you guys even paying attention? Look at what's going on. So it's in the nervous system. And here's why that's beneficial. Systems in the body sometimes don't run right. And when they don't run right, we don't need to think, oh my God, I'm broken. I'm damaged. This is my past. If you break a leg, you've broken your skeletal system. No one says, oh my God, I'm damaged. I'm broken. There's something wrong with me. You're like, no, my system got overtaxed and I have an issue and I'm going to heal it. So I want you to understand, if you're listening to this, you have a system in your body called the nervous system. For reasons I'll explain, it's kind of malfunctioning and cranking out a little too much nervousness. And that's it. You're not broken. You're not damaged. You just have a system in your body that's not quite running right. And the reason it's not quite running right is, again, very simple and, best word ever, solvable.
Okay. You've been teasing us. Tell us more about this solvability. How?
Well, to solve it, I just want to tell you about my new and exciting timeshare. No, I'm kidding. It's nice to talk to you, Tanya. I appreciate your playful spirit.
Well, thank you. I don't need another timeshare. I need a solution.
All right. So everything I've explained to you so far has been simple, correct?
Right. I'm in the wrong location. Need to be checking with my body. The body system that they need to be checking with, because I'm extra nervous, is the nervous system. I'm not unfixable. I'm not broken. I need to look at that system and say, okay, where does the healing or the repair need to happen?
You need to understand, why is the system not running right in a way that it makes it solvable? But again, once you start looking at it from this perspective, the answer reveals itself, because the answer is simple, because the body is pretty simple. There's four key reasons why systems in the body start to malfunction. Okay, one is just age. As we age, not me specifically, I drink human blood every morning, but you know, other people will age and they're, I should probably disclaimer, that was a joke. If you're thinking like, I knew it was a scam.
No. I knew it was something like that.
So as we age, systems will start to malfunction. One is catastrophic failure. If you overtax it, you know, something's gonna break. If you fall off a ladder, your leg will break. A third is you can have a genetic mutation where something can go funky. But then there's a fourth one, the most common reason why a system in the body starts to malfunction What do you think the most common reason that a system starts to malfunction in the body? Keep it simple.
You're not going to like what I have. I would say trauma.
I don't like that because that's not simple. Well, it could be simple, but that's not it. Think about it. Have you ever had a cavity? Okay.
So infection?
Did that? Have you ever been constipated?
Yes.
Was that trauma?
Overdoing it?
Was that trauma?
Oh, it's too complicated to get into that. Not necessarily, no.
The answer is every system in the body, or at least most systems in the body, have basic daily maintenance that they need. Daily maintenance done consistently. You got to brush and floss. You got to sleep a certain amount. You got to drink enough water. You got to eat a balanced diet. There are basics. You got to get the right vitamins and minerals. So most systems in the body have basics. And if you do the basics, God's incredible creation of being human is that these systems run pretty amazingly well. My tongue right now is just flapping away, doing incredible things, and it just works all the time. I don't have to maintain it. I don't have a book on like how to win friends and influence my tongue. It just works really well. Why? Because, well, I don't put my tongue in a meat grinder. I just kind of maintain it. However, if you don't do the daily basic hygiene for a system, if you don't brush and floss, if you don't drink enough water, if you don't eat a balanced diet, what will help happen to that system?
It begins to fail.
There you go. So systems in the body have basic care. We are taught the basic care of a lot of these basic systems. And because we're taught the basic care, brush and floss, drink enough water, get enough sleep, balanced diet, etc., we have the option to keep these systems relatively healthy. But what about the nervous system? Did anybody sit you down, Tanya, or to your listeners and say, hey, here's basic daily hygiene of the nervous system. Here's what your feelings and emotions need every day. You need to do this about 5 to 10 times a day. And if you do that, you'll have a healthy nervous system. If you don't, that system will eventually crash. Did anybody have a conversation even remotely like that?
No.
Is it fair to say that based on your experience and what you were told about feelings, that you were actually sort of accidentally taught bad nervous system emotional hygiene?
In the beginning, and then the adult life has been spent retraining.
Yeah, but the answer is we're not taught healthy emotional hygiene. We're taught bad emotional hygiene. Just even phrases like get over it, don't take it personally, don't worry about it, you're too sensitive, boys don't cry, you name it. We get talked out of looking after our emotions and feelings. We all know that. Also, when the people that were supposed to take care of us did the best they could, but they fell short, we unconsciously learned, oh, maybe I don't deserve to take care of this inner world. I better not. We also just live in a culture where we're very disconnected from our emotions and feelings. So how would you even be connected to them enough to take care of them? So ideally, you would know basic daily hygiene of the nervous system. You'd know what to do and you would do it and it'd be healthy. However, we weren't taught it. And because you weren't taught it, you did not know how to take care of it. And so eventually that system is going to fail. And when systems fail in the body, they act very similar. They become fragile. Your teeth can become fragile. Your heart becomes fragile. Fragile. And fragile means when life pushes on you, you can't handle life. You feel pain. Fragile pain. But can you see that almost explains anxiety?
So I feel fragile, have pain. I want to move away from the pain. So then I start doing behaviors that are not necessarily positive for the other systems.
Well, that's true. But just the fact that we take out the word anxiety and just call it, I'm fragile. I can't handle what I used to be able to handle. Something relatively small happens. And instead of just feeling it, I feel this spike, which we could call pain. So it's yet more evidence that this is a system issue that hasn't been taken care of because your nervous system wasn't taken care of because you weren't taught it. It wasn't your fault. And now your nervous system is fragile. And when life pushes on it, you feel pain. But the good news is you're not broken. You're not damaged. This isn't your fault. You were literally never taught to do these basics. So eventually your system will fail and it will become fragile and you'll feel pain. That's what's going on. But it's not your fault.
Daniel, I can't tell people I'm fragile. Then I'm powerless. Then I'm fearful. Then I'm afraid. Then that's scary.
You don't have to tell people you're fragile, but isn't it better to see that, oh, I didn't take care of my nervous system and now it's, you could call it not strong. Isn't that a more loving way to see what's going on than I'm weak and going crazy?
So if I see myself as fragile, the out that I get is, I have choice and I can change that.
It's not about the word. I mean, fragile still doesn't sound great. But when you realize that's just a word we use to describe systems, that when they're not taken care of, they become not as strong as they used to be. So it's not about the word fragile. It's just saying, why is your system fragile? It's not because you're broken or weak or bad or wrong. It's just because you didn't learn to take care of the system. And now the system is experiencing symptoms of fragility. I believe that's a more loving understanding that makes it solvable than I'm broken and damaged.
So I'm using compassion to say I didn't learn what I needed to learn, can learn it, and that will shift my understanding. Am I getting anywhere close to it?
No, that's it. And look how simple that was.
That took a lot of synapses to get there.
You did okay. Great.
So I think I have, and I hope the audience has been following along, I think I have kind of a basic. Now, how do we learn how to take care of our nervous system?
Well, that's an excellent next question. But again, I want to clarify what the problem is so that people really understand what they're up against and why they haven't solved their anxiety yet. You just asked, on the one hand, a very understandable question. How do I take care of it? However, what's missing in that is a real understanding of what I just explained. If you don't take care of a system, it goes into failure mode. Once a system goes into failure mode, that's a very distinct state. And once something goes into a state of failure, you can't do the thing that just helps. It's a little bit too late. For instance, with your diet, what helps a diet is to eat a healthy diet and eat salads. Great. Once your heart is healthy, what you eat salads moving forward. But if you haven't had a balanced diet, you've eaten too much fat, and you're having a coronary, you don't go to the doctor and say, hey, doctor, what can I do to help my coronary? It's like, it is too late for that. You have a system failure, and you have to go back. And you have to find experts who understand that system really well and understand the steps and the timing to bring that system back to health. And this is why this is not how people think of anxiety. It's like this problem. Give me the tip. Give me the technique. Give me the app. Thinking if I just find the thing, it's going to clear it up. And what we found is no. It's more dire than that because, again, if you had never brushed your teeth, your teeth would be full of infections and you'd need a root canal. And if you knew that, you'd know what to do, which is you go to an expert, a dentist who repairs your teeth, and then you go brush and floss moving forward. If you understood that, you would do that. But if you didn't, you'd go, oh, is there an app? Is there an app? I'm learning that if I don't eat carrots,
no, you'd be like this. Is there an app? Because my mouth hurts. You can't function when there's a root canal. That's the one and only cavity I've ever had, and it's awful.
You can't function. But also, if you don't understand this is a system failure, you will just try and find the thing that, you know, gets it going again. It's too late for that. Trust me, I spent $100,000 on all the tools and didn't do anything. What we did was we became experts in the mechanics and engineering of the nervous system and decoding what are the simple daily basics that it needs. What are the vitamins and minerals? What's the brushing and flossing of the nervous system? But more importantly, how to repair it. This is what nobody teaches. They teach how to manage it, how to understand it, but not how to systematically, because it's a whole system, repair it. And why is that not taught? Because it's not that easy. Even people that can repair teeth, which are dentists, that took about 60 to 80 years to really understand how to do that. The timing, where to go in, the anesthesia, people who can open up your arteries if you're having a heart attack. All that had to be developed, the processes and the timings, and then people needed to be trained. So people that repair exist, but you need to find those people. And that is what we do. Now, the downside, Tanya, and to your audience, is that based on our research and data, all this is that you weren't taught the daily basics and your nervous system has crashed and you're experiencing the fragility and pain of that system crash. And the downside is if you don't repair the system and bring it back to health, you'll always just be managing it because the root failure never got healed. You're just managing symptoms. That's the bad news. And that's what your audience is experiencing. That's why you haven't solved it. You're having a root canal issue and people are selling you toothpaste and air freshener. And that's why they're selling Band-Aids. It's not doing anything, but this is not about Band-Aids. This is about a full upgrade. So the bad news is that's what's going on. Your listeners don't know that. That's why their anxiety is still here and their children's anxiety is still here. That's the bad news. However, this is good news because it makes it solvable. If you were never taught to brush and floss and you were never taught about dentists, you would end up needing a root canal and you would be stuck with it. your teeth would be so fragile. You'd bite into something and think, oh my God, I have parrot cane disorder. Or then you'd eat some ice cream. Oh, my teeth hurt. Maybe it's because this is childhood trauma because I didn't get ice cream at my birthday party. Like, you would just sit there for years trying to figure out, and you'd start avoiding food altogether and then just eating mashed potatoes, but never. You could spend a life on Google trying to figure out what this is and think it's completely complex and unsolvable. That's how it would feel. But if you then found out about dentists who are experts in repairing systems, and then they teach you how to brush and floss, is it true that you could be free of a lifetime of tooth pain in a matter of weeks?
Yes.
Yes. So if anxiety is structurally identical, can you see that this is also solvable? You could go to experts that can repair a system, and then you can learn to brush and floss your nervous system moving forward, and then a lifetime of emotional pain could go away in a matter of weeks. Can you see that that's possible?
I can see that it's possible. I can also see the variable that would make it fail is me.
Total bummer alert, Tanya. Come on, baby doll. I get it. But like, in this moment of triumph, of possibility, could you just embrace how good of a news this could be?
Yes. Yes. If it were that simple as taking care of my teeth, as, you know, okay, I need the daily understanding of what could build that up to repair it, not tips and tricks to just band-aid it. I can see it.
Wonderful. I get that you don't fully get this. I get that you're skeptical and you have doubt. Absolutely. I know this is simple because when we built this program for me, my anxiety went away and never came back. I see every day that our people come in and out with their lives back. Last week, I had a gentleman, well, he came to us 6 weeks ago. He couldn't go outside. He couldn't play with his children. And he said, not only do I not have a life, but my children don't have a father. When he came to me, he said, I've lost hope and I just don't know what to do. And I said, well, do our program. You only pay at the end if it works. He said, really? I said, yeah. He said, so it's no risk to try it? I said, yeah. He said, so I can be skeptical and still just try it? I said, yes. And, you know, he's now 5 weeks in. He just wrote to me. He said, not only do I have my life back, but my children have their father back and my wife has her husband back. Results matter.
Wow. Wow. So for these families who are dealing with a real problem, there is addiction in the family, there is numbing out, there's all of that. I can see that part of the reason why the real problem happened is no awareness how to manage the nervous system. I mean, you're trying to literally put it to sleep because you can't manage it.
Absolutely. And what you pointed to is another bonus of what we teach. When we started developing this system, I wanted to make sure that this was universal and would work on everyone. If this was really mechanical and simple, it should work on everybody, not just like white Jewish males from upper middle class from Berkeley, California, who are raised by physicists. Like, we need to make sure this is universal. And if you know engineering of the body, it's universal. If someone breaks a bone, I don't care what ethnicity, age, what country you're from, if they put a cast on the bone, it heals. And so if this is universal, we started testing it. So I also spent 2 years working in Johannesburg at the addiction clinic because I knew that underneath a lot of addiction is trying to avoid a lot of emotional pain. So yeah, we brought our program in as a test case to see if this would start helping with addiction. And when the head of the organization for the national response saw the results we were getting, he was blown away and he wants to bring this into the national addiction response in South Africa. So we people come to us for anxiety because it's the most acute pain in some ways. However, I've seen people's addictions significantly go down, if not completely eradicated by the end of the program. We don't guarantee that, but I've seen it happen.
And that, as you've been talking about this and not taking care of the nervous system, not taking care of the emotions. So if I have a mom, if I'm a mom and I can't take care of my nervous system, then I certainly can't teach my children how to take care of their nervous system. So we're back to your tooth analogy of, I haven't taught them to brush their teeth. I haven't taken them to the dentist. They don't know what that looks like unless by some happenstance they've run into somebody else who knows what it looks like. But they don't have any, as we started, they don't have any structure or even beginning to think of the possibility. And if I'm hearing from you correctly, that's where you're starting, is you're saying no tips, no tricks. We are working at the repair level of a system that nobody has taught you how to even maintain, because our awareness of it has been backwards. Even though we've tried, our awareness of it has been really backwards.
So well put, in a profound point. Yes. What we are teaching people is true mental health. It's not a mental health, it's nervous system health, and then your mind goes quiet. That's my mind used to just scream at me all day. Now it's quiet or says nice things. They call it mental health, and we're helping kids with mental health. No, you're not. They have poor mental health, and you're managing their poor mental health, which if that's all you can do, call it that. But don't say, oh, we're really working on teenagers' mental health. No, you're giving yourself way too much credit. You don't understand it enough to say mental health. And I know that's a little bit arrogant, but again, I'm getting the results, so I'm going to talk like that. What we teach is the fundamental basics, which you said it went missing. We weren't taught it. We're taught financial literacy. We're taught physical literacy. We're taught lots of types of literacy. We are not taught emotional literacy. What we're taught is once your nervous system and mental health has crashed, we'll give you management tools. That's what's taught in schools. But that's not the same thing. And so when you go through this program, you are repairing it, but you're also learning the fundamental basics, the hygiene, such that after the program is over, you have basic maintenance of about 5 minutes a day. And once you know that, you know how to give it to your family, which is so powerful, and it allows you to love your children at a higher level. I had a woman come in 6 months ago. She said, I have anxiety. My child has anxiety. I can't help her, but we're also fighting, and I miss her, and it's just that awkward teenage time, and it's just so painful in the house. And she sent me a message around week four into the program, and she said, you know, I learned a very powerful thing that I don't do for my nervous system and feelings. I did it. I did the exercises that I'm taught. And then basically I just applied it to my daughter. And she said, for the first time in 2 years, she said, Mom, I love you too. And gave me a hug.
Wow. Wow. That's what we're all looking for, especially in those teenage years. It is a struggle. And I think one of the things you bump up against is you look at that teenager and think, shoot, I instilled this. That's why that's showing up. I can see myself there. It's not just your mom showing up behind you, but you're seeing it in a reflection from your child. And it's inordinately painful.
It is very painful to see someone you care about that you can't help. We work with parents all the time that say, my child, like, it's so painful. And of course it is. And so when we give them a solution, because the program's simple, it works for, well, we've had 9-year-olds learn about it, but the program, we've helped people 16, 17. But also it's a fundamental, you know, people see, oh, I'm anxious and now my child is anxious, but it's usually done through a more punishing, like, oh, I'm broken. I'm passing this brokenness on to my child. Mm-hmm. What if you could say, I was never taught basic hygiene. I just wasn't taught it. And so I don't have that gift to give to my own child. But you're not broken. You're not passing on the damage. You were literally never educated. So you become educated of what your system needs, and then you can pass that education on to your child. Isn't that a more loving way to look at it?
Why are we not doing that?
Because the improvement industrial complex in Big Thera has convinced everybody that it's a confusing problem. So when we show up and we're like, hey, solve it in 6 weeks, people are like, it's a scam. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding. And this is the problem. Big Thera has accidentally confused people and conditioned them to think that this is complicated. So we help people, but not nearly as many as we can, because people just think it's too good to be true. But if you look at history, simple things come along that are the actual solution. There was a doctor called Ignaz Semmelweis from Croatia in, I think, the 1880s, and he saw that all these women were dying in childbirth and nobody knew why. And he figured out, oh, because we're operating on cadavers in autopsies in the morning, and then we're not washing our hands and we're passing on that to the woman. He saw that. He said, let's wash our hand. The death rate collapsed. Even though he had the data to do it, even though he was a doctor, it still took 30 years for that to catch on. Because the paradigm says, no, this is big and complicated and people can't absorb simple. But every now and then, if you have the data to back it up, the solution is simple.
Goodness. So this is hygiene for the nervous system.
Oh, let me interrupt. Repair
first, and then hygiene for the nervous system.
Yeah, and it's key, because sometimes people say, oh, I already tried. I meditate. I go for walks. I spend time with my dog. But that's not repairing. There are things out there that could be construed as like self-care, mental health care. You could call it hygiene. Hygiene is what you can do once you're healthy, but to repair, no. Meditation won't repair anything. Walks for the beach won't repair anything. So you're going to repair it as in the program. There's three phases. The first is you get the tools and tips that we develop to repair it. That's the trickiest part that we spent all these years getting. That's what nobody's teaching. Phase two is that you learn to retrain the nervous system, meaning once it's repaired, it's been knocked out of balance and you need to sort of recalibrate the system and get it healthy again. And then phase three is to maintain. That's when you can do the simple basics moving forward. So repair, retrain, and then maintain.
This is mind blower. You know that, right? That's why you keep showing up. Like, I've got something and I would really like people to listen because I want to give it to you, which you basically are. You're giving it. You're saying, show up, participate, it will work, and then you'll pay me at the end.
Yeah. And we do that because I know no matter what I say, your experience tells you it can't be simple or that you are broken. Now, I've tried to lay out a case to at least create a perceptual framework where you can go, huh, that at least makes sense. It makes sense that I didn't solve it because these experts sent me the wrong application. So, of course, I still have it. And it kind of makes sense. I'm extra nervous. And I've got a system in the body called the nervous system. I was never taught basic hygiene, so eventually it's going to crash and become fragile and painful. It makes sense. And in the same way you can clear up dental pain, you could clear up emotional pain. That makes sense. It seems possible. That's all we need to do. And the reason we only charge at the end is because we know that's not enough. You're not going to fully believe me. The only way you can believe me is to collect the data for yourself. I can say we have a 90% success rate, but it feels like you're broken and it won't work on you. Fine. Be skeptical. Have your doubt. I get it. I totally get it. But given what I've explained, I hope I've made a case enough where you're like, huh, there's literally no risk to try this. He's made a good enough case that I should try this. If it doesn't work, I don't pay. When it does work, I get my life back. That is just good math.
Okay, I'm with you. Now, how do we get to you? Where do we find you? Where do we locate you?
Well, I like things simple, Tanya. So my name's Daniel Packard. What website do you think I'm going to send people to?
DanielPackard.com?
HawaiianTimeshare.org. No, yes. DanielPackard.com. That's what, please don't listen to this information and go, wow, that was really interesting. I now know something. Listen to me. Knowledge is useless if you want to solve something. And we've spent all this money learning about our anxiety, learning about our fear, learning's great. I'm not dismissing it. It doesn't solve anything. Okay. If you've broken your bone, spending a lifetime learning about bones, learning about the cells, okay, great. But don't you just want to solve it? And to solve it, you have to take some action. So please don't hear what I've said and go, wow, that was really interesting. I learned something today. Learning is overrated. People will take your money and teach you stuff, but it doesn't solve anything. So don't just hear what I've said and go, oh, that was cool. I know something. It's useless without action in this case. So I'm glad you liked what you heard. You got to take action. So you go to DanielPackard.com. Can you tell, Tanya, I'm not messing around? Can you tell? Sometimes people say, how can we trust you? Do you think I get this excited for something that doesn't work? I'm a smart guy. I could make a lot of money anywhere else. And here I am on this podcast sharing this. If this didn't work, and look how excited I get. This is not cocaine. This is a healthy nervous system and passion, because every day we see people come in trapped and in pain and they leave free and happy. It gets you energized, as you can imagine. So, DanielPackard.com. And you can either learn more about the program, ask some basic questions. There's an FAQ. There's info on pricing. And there's just like the basics. Also, if you've heard what I've said and you're like, okay, this makes a lot of sense, but like, how does it work? I still don't get it. I need to get it. If that's you, then we have some free resources and exercises that allow you to do a deeper dive with the material to kind of just feel more and understand more. So if you want those, also go to DanielPackard.com. Or if you've heard this and went, there's no risk to try this, and it's a 6-week program, and I can start to feel better within the week, I'm in. If you're just ready and you want to see if you're a good candidate for this, also at DanielPackard.com, you can book a free 20-minute consultation with me. So to either get basic info on the program, to sign up to get some free experiential deep dive resources, or if you're just ready to rumble, book a consultation with me at DanielPackard.com. And before I go, I just want to again say, I know what it's like to be in your situation where you just had it for so long. It feels so unsolvable and you feel so like, oh, this will never work. I absolutely get it. But I invite you to understand, please, you're not broken. Every system in the body is divinely designed that you have to take care of it. And Big Spirit God wants us to take care of the beauty in the world. Children, aquariums, dogs, children, gardens, the planet. We are given these free gifts, but God says, you better take care of it. Here, Adam and Eve, here's the Garden of Eden, but respect it, take care of it. And they didn't, and they got booted. Even Jesus, after doing some of the miracles, God was like, you need to go chill and relax, or else you're going to blow yourself out. He didn't use that exact language, but you get my point. My point is, we're supposed to take care of ourselves. We know that, and we don't, and we're not listening, and God wants you to take care of yourself, and God knows, what do we listen to? Pain. Pain is God's way of getting our attention to say, okay, I tried to warn you. I was whispering. You didn't listen. Here's some pain to get your attention to take action. What does that mean? That means that you're not broken. You are working perfectly. This is the way your body was designed. And it's not that there's anything wrong with you. There's something so perfect about you that God is trying to help you through this annoying form of pain. So your anxiety is not a problem or a burden. It's a gift if you pay attention to what it's teaching you, which is that you never learn to take care of the gift that you were given by God. But when you learn how to do that, and we will show you, you are free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. You can be free at last at danielpacker.com.
Daniel, thank you for the evangelism. I know there are so many people who need that. So many people who are ready to be free. And in that short amount of time, I mean, that's less than the holiday season for us in the States, you know, between Thanksgiving and the end of the new year. Done. So please be sure and see Daniel at danielpacker.com. You can be as skeptical as you want to be, and he's going to answer your questions, and then join him and see if it works for you. So Daniel, thank you so much for being on Sober on Purpose. Really appreciate it.
It was an absolute honor. It was nice to share this with you, but also to your audience that I know needed to hear this. So it is my Christmas present to your listeners in advance. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
You, beloved listener, are creative, resourceful, and whole. Do you want to add more purpose to your sober journey? Do you want to make room for the new and make your dreams a reality? Apply today for a dream session. Go to tanyajoya.com. That's TanyaGioia.com and apply today. Let's get you dreaming about your new purpose.